Hemology is of ruin. It destroys. By taking abilities from one person and giving them to another, in reduced amounts, power is actually lost. In line with ruin's own appointed purpose, breaking down the universe into smaller and smaller pieces, hemology gives great gifts, but at a high cost. 33. Humans might have scorned Tensun, perhaps throwing things at him or yelling curses as he passed. Chandra were too orderly for that kind of display, but Tensun could feel their disdain. They watched as he was taken from his cage, then led back to the trust warren for judgment. Hundreds of eyes regarded him, set in bodies with bones of steel, glass, rock, and wood. The younger Chandra were more extreme in form, the older were more orthodox. All were accusatory. Before, at the trial, the crowd had been curious, perhaps horrified. That had changed. Tensun's time spent in the display cage had worked as intended. The second generation had been able to promote his infamy, and Chandra, who had once perhaps been sympathetic to him, now watched with disgust. In 1,000 years of history, the Chandra had never had a criminal such as Tensun. He bore the stares and the scorn with a raised head, padding through the corridor in a dog's body. It was strange to him how natural the bones felt. He'd only spent a year's time wearing them, but putting them on again, discarding the scrawny, naked human body, felt more like returning home than coming back to the homeland had a year before. And so, what was supposed to be a humiliation for him became, instead, something of a triumph. It had been a wild hope, but he'd manipulated the second generation into giving him back the dog's body. The sack had even contained the body's hair and nails. Likely they had simply collected the entire mess after forcing Tensun to abandon it and enter his prison a year ago. The comfortable bones gave him strength. This was the body that Vin had given him. She was the hero of ages. He had to believe that. Otherwise, he was about to make a very big mistake. His guards led him into the trust warren. This time, there were too many observers to fit into the room, so the seconds declared that those younger than the seventh generation had to wait outside. Even so, Chandra filled the rows of stone seats. They sat silently as Tensun was led to the slightly raised metallic disc set into the center of the stone floor. The broad doors were left open, and younger Chandra crowded outside, listening. Tensun looked up as he stepped onto his platform. The lump-like shadows of the first generation waited above, each one in his separate alcove, backlit faintly in blue. Kanpar approached his lectern. Tensun could see the satisfaction in the way Kanpar slid across the floor. The second felt that his triumph was complete. What happened to those who ignored the directives of the second generation would not soon be forgotten. Tensun settled back on his haunches, guarded by two Chandra, with the blessing of potency twinkling in each shoulder. They carried large mallets.
"Tensun of the third generation," Kanpar said loudly. "Are you ready to bear the sentence of your judgment?"
"There will be no judgment," Tensun said. His words slurred, coming from the dog's mouth, but they were clear enough to understand.
"No judgment?" Kanpar asked, amused. "You now seek to back out of what you yourself demanded?"
"I came to give information, not to be judged."
I'm
not speaking to you, Kanpar," Tensun said, turning from the second to look up. "I'm talking to them."
"They heard your words, third," Kanpar snapped. "Control yourself. I will not let you turn this judgment into a circus, as you did before."
Tensun smiled. Only a Chandra would consider a mild argument to be a circus. Tensun didn't turn away from the first generation's alcoves, however.
"Now," Kanpar said, "we—"
"You,"
Tensun bellowed, causing Kanpar to sputter again.
First generation! How long will you sit in your comfortable home, pretending that the world above doesn't exist? You think that if you ignore the problems, they won't affect you? Or is it that you've stopped believing in your own teachings? The days of mist have come. The endless ash now falls. The earth shakes and trembles. You can condemn me, but you must not ignore me. The world will soon die. If you want people, in all of their forms, to survive, you must act. You must be ready. For you may soon need to command our people to accept the resolution.
The room fell silent. Several of the shadows above shuffled, as if discomfited, though Khandra generally didn't react in such a way. It was too disorderly. Then a voice, soft, scratchy, and very tired, spoke from above.
"Proceed, Kanpar."
The comment was so unexpected that several members of the audience actually gasped. The first generation never spoke in the presence of lessers. Ten Sun wasn't awed. He'd seen them and talked with them, before they'd grown too superior to deal with anyone but the seconds. No, he wasn't awed. He was just disappointed.
"My faith in you was misplaced," he said, mostly to himself. "I should not have returned."
"Ten Sun of the third generation," Kanpar said, standing up straight, crystalline true body sparkling as he pointed. "You have been sentenced to the ritual imprisonment of Changar. You will be beaten to the point of fracture, then bricked into a pit with only one hole for your daily slop. You will remain there for 10 generations. Only after that will you be executed by starvation. Know that your greatest sin was that of rebellion. If you had not strayed from the advice and wisdom of this council, you would never have thought it right to break the first contract. Because of you, the trust has been endangered, as has every Khandra of every generation."
Kanpar let the pronouncement ring in the chamber. Ten Sun sat quietly on his haunches. Kanpar had obviously expected some kind of response from him, but Ten Sun gave none. Finally, Kanpar gestured to the guards beside Ten Sun, who hefted their fearsome hammers.
"You know, Kanpar," Ten Sun said, "I learned a few important things while wearing these bones a year ago."
Kanpar gestured again. The guards raised their weapons.
"It's something I had never paused to consider," Ten Sun said. "Humans, if you think about it, just aren't built for speed. Dogs, however, are."
The hammers fell. Ten Sun leaped forward. The powerful dog's haunches launched him into motion. Ten Sun was a member of the third generation. Nobody had been eating and emulating bodies as long as he had, and he knew how to pack muscles into a body. In addition, he had spent a year wearing the bones of a wolfhound, being forced to try to keep up with his mistborn master. He'd undergone what had effectively been a year of training by one of the most talented allomancers the world had ever known. On top of that, a body mass that had translated from a scrawny human made quite a substantial wolfhound. This, combined with his skill in crafting bodies, meant that when Ten Sun jumped, he jumped. His guards cried out in shock as Ten Sun sprang away, his leap taking him at least 10 feet across the room. He hit the ground running, but didn't head for the door. They'd be expecting that. Instead, he sprang directly toward Kanpar. The foremost of seconds cried out, throwing up ineffectual hands as 100 pounds of wolfhound crashed into him, throwing him to the stone floor. Ten Sun heard sharp cracks as Kanpar's delicate bones shattered, and Kanpar screamed in a very un-Khandra-like way.
"That seems appropriate," Ten Sun thought, shoving his way through the ranks of the seconds, shattering bones. "Honestly, what kind of vain fool wears a true body made of crystal?"
Many of the Khandra didn't know how to react. Others, especially the younger ones, had spent a lot of time around humans on contracts, and they were more accustomed to chaos. These scattered, leaving their elder companions sitting on the benches in shock. Tensoon darted between bodies, heading toward the doors. The guards beside the podium, the ones who would have shattered his bones, rushed to Kanpar's side, their filial sense of duty overriding their desire to prevent his escape. Besides, they must have seen the crowd clogging the doorway and assumed that Tensoon would be slowed. As soon as he reached the crowd, Tensoon jumped again. Vin had required him to be able to leap incredible heights, and he'd practiced with many different muscle structures. This jump wouldn't have impressed Vin. Tensoon no longer had the blessing of potency he'd stolen from Ursur. But it was more than enough to let him clear the watching Khandra. Some cried out, and he landed in a pocket of open space, then leaped again toward the open cavern beyond.
"No!"
he heard echoing from the Trustworn.
"Go after him!"
Tensoon took off in a loping dash down one of the corridors. He ran quickly, far more quickly than anything bipedal could have managed. With his canine body, he hoped he'd be able to outrun even Khandra bearing the blessing of potency. "Farewell, my home," Tensoon thought, leaving the main cavern behind. "And farewell to what little honor I had left."